playing at my house, my house. I'll show you the ropes, kid, show you the ropes. Got a bus and a trailer at my house, my house. I'll show you the ropes, kid, show you the ropes. About 15 cases for my house, my house. All the furniture is in the garage. Well, that bug is playing in my house, my house. You got to set them up, kid, set them up.
And a pleasant good morning to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Wednesday morning as I come to you every Wednesday morning. Except last Wednesday where I was on vacation. Live from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. I am happy to be back on a much bright, sunny morning. But I got to start the show on a very serious note. And I typically have never had problems, you know, talking about important issues, whether it be society based as how it's, you know, impact sports. I've been one to run away from controversial topics. Those of you that have been listening to my radio show and podcast over the last few years know full and well. For those of you that are new to listening to the show for the first time, you're about to see firsthand. As I just mentioned, I was on vacation last week. I was outside of Boston, like outside of New England entirely. I was down in Philadelphia, spent two separate days in New York City. So by and large part, I was completely unaware of what was going on and what had been, you know, taking place in Boston in terms of the sports media, in terms of sports talk radio and so forth. Yesterday, I received an email from someone here at the station. I'm not going to mention who it was. About a story that had broke that I actually was not even aware of. Truthfully, I was not aware of this story until this individual who I thanked in private already reached out to me and said that this following story had broke. And I'm talking about Tony Maserati of 98.5 The Sports Hub. The news had basically said that he was suspended for the remainder of the week for some racially insensitive comments that he had said on Friday's show. Again, I did not see or watch Friday's show because I was on vacation. Outside of New England, I wasn't listening to the show at all. So when I went back and tried to find exactly what it was, I heard the comments and I listened and my first reaction was of anger, disappointment, of genuine anger for a variety of reasons, all of which I will go into now. And in case if you missed the comment or what was said on Felgram as on 98.5 The Sports Hub here locally in Boston and on NBC Sports Boston on Friday, this is what was said. This is, again, Tony Mass co-hosting the show of Felgram as on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is what was said.
Yeah, I want to know now who the two guys behind you are. That's what I want. Okay. Because if I were you,
I'll be off in 2 minutes. I'm just doing. I got just. If I'm too loud, just let me know. Honestly,
they can't.
Two more minutes.
They can't hear us, right?
No, not you.
Okay, no. So I would be careful if I were you, because the last time you were on, a couple of guys like that, they stole your car.
Here's Chris in Boston. Go ahead, Chris.
The two individuals that Tony Maserati were talking about were two men who were African Americans. And what Maz was referring to was the last time that Felger was down in Louisiana, his car was stolen. So him saying that be careful, because I want to just basically replay the clip, because so I'm not misquoting him at all.
Yeah, I want to know now who the two guys behind you are. That's what I want.
Okay.
Because if I were you,
I'll be off in 2 minutes. I'm just doing. I got just. If I'm too loud, just let me know. Honestly.
They can't.
Two more minutes.
They can't hear us, right?
No, not you.
Okay. No. So I would be careful if I were you, because the last time you were on, a couple of guys like that, they stole your car.
A couple of guys like that. That was just incredibly painful to hear. And as I said, the first time I heard this, I was angry. A couple of guys like that. Like, the problem that I have with that statement is this. The problem that I have is that that statement basically categorizes African-American men as criminals, thugs, and thieves. I'm very disappointed, like genuinely disappointed. And the reason why I feel this way is because as an African American myself, as a Caribbean Native American myself, my father being an immigrant from Guyana, on my mother's side, being Native American, Cherokee Indian to be exact, my grandmother was Cherokee Indian. Unfortunately, since the time that black people were brought to the United States, or should I say the Americas, on slave ships, black people have been demonized. And it's truly a shame that I heard this and the fact that Mass came out and said that. I'm not going to spend the entire segment bashing Mass. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to spend the entire segment bashing Tony. I'm not going to do that. And for good reason. And the reason is because I spent a significant amount of time this morning really thinking about what I really want to say and how do I want to approach it. But I wasn't going to mince words and express my disappointment, my anger about that comment. But rather, ultimately, what I realized and what I ultimately decided is that I'm going to use this as a teaching lesson. And when I say as a teaching lesson, meaning that I'm going to explain to you why, for those of you who truly want to listen and stop playing this freaking whataboutism game, why comments like that is so harmful and it's so hurtful, especially as it pertains to people of color. And as someone who was in the sports media industry, who was grinding and working my tail off to get to a place I'm trying to get to, especially in this market, it's even more jarring considering the history of racism that does exist in this region. So let's start with the fact that, unfortunately, black men and women, but especially black men, have been looked upon in society in this country as thugs, thieves, dangerous, criminals. So when you hear someone say, people like them, it reinforces that stereotype, or should I say that negative connotation that black people face and have faced in this country for centuries, going well back into the Jim Crow era, if not even before then. So as we sit here this morning and we do this show, and what has been, this has really been a big story the last couple of days, because I will come out and I will say that Maz did come out and apologize. And I'm grateful that he did. And he was genuinely contrite in his apology. And I do think that it was sincere. It came across as sincere. And it was something that I think it needed to be said. But it doesn't take away from the hurt and the damage that was already done by that point. This is what the apology sounded like. This is courtesy of Felger and Maz from Monday's show.
Okay, so as you said, late in the show on Friday, I made some comments that angered and upset some people, and rightfully so. So I wish I could take them back. I can't. They were insensitive. They were hurtful. And frankly, they hurt the cause for those of us who believe in racial and social equality and all of those things. And I do. I'm on that side of the line, which is what made this thing so difficult in so many different ways. So I owe everyone an apology. It's not who I am. It's not who we are. I can tell you that until I'm blue in the face. Those of you who know me will believe it. Those of you who don't, won't. And you probably shouldn't. If I saw and heard what you did, I feel the same way. And you have a right to be upset. The only thing I can really do is apologize for it. Again, you know, there is, when we're talking about these sorts of issues, there is a line somewhere, and I can assure you I stand on the right side of it. But you, again, that doesn't excuse what I said or did on Friday. It was really, I meant, if anyone cares, to poke fun at you, Mike. It didn't come off that way. It came off as something far broader and ignorant. And I'm regretful of that. I don't know what more I can say other than I'm sorry to you and to Murray for dragging you into it.
Oh, please.
For Jimmy Stewart, for the people here at the station, let alone friends and colleagues in the business who are dealing with it on assorted different levels. So, again, all I can tell you is it's not who I am. And I was, got a little silly and stupid at the end of the show. I was trying to be a wise ass like I often am. And it just came out wrong. And I wish I could give you a better answer than that, because we're in a business where we should be careful about what we say and how we say it. And I wasn't.
That was from Friday's show. I'm sorry, on Monday's show, excuse me. The apology from Tony Maserati himself. There's a reason why I didn't come out guns and blazing in regards to what Tony Mass said and did. And I'm going to give you that reason straight up. I've had the privilege of interacting with him on a few occasions. First time was when I had him on my podcast. The second time was in person. Had a lengthy conversation. And I genuinely like the man a lot. And one of the reasons why is that he went out of his way and shared with me some really good advice on some things that I'm not going to get into on the air. Some of which are personal, some of which professional. So when he came out and apologized, I believed it. And it was genuine. And when you get an opportunity to interact and talk to someone that you admire from afar, you are more likely to give that person a benefit of the doubt, especially when you've learned and you know that that person does not have a track record of saying statements that he said on Friday. He doesn't. While he was wrong, and he's 100% wrong in saying that, and as I said from the beginning of the segment, I'm angry, hurt, saddened by what he said, because statements like that paint African Americans in a very negative limelight, especially everything that African Americans have had to deal with in this country. I do believe when he came out and said that this is not who he was, I do. Whether you do or don't, that's entirely up to you. But what I will say is this. As a learning moment, if you feel that it is not comfortable for you to make like jokes or statements like that, don't make jokes or statements like that on the air or anywhere. Whether you with your compadres or you in the house among your own folks, it's not okay, period. It's not. Because all it does is that it just recycles the very notion and the stigma that is attached, unfortunately, to African Americans is that they're hoodlums, especially African American men. They're hoodlums. They're thugs. And I give a lot of credit to black sports media members, and most notably Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe. Also, he also works at 98.5 The Sports Up, also NBC Sports Boston. Because I've noticed and I've seen a lot of his tweets in the last day or two in which he's had to spend a lot of time explaining to people that do not want to hear what he had to say as to why those comments were particularly hurtful. But we have to have these conversations. These conversations are rather uncomfortable. These conversations are important to have, especially in this market where the perception of the fans, especially sports media in this market, the perception elsewhere is that there are not enough diverse voices in this market. And it matters, because when you have a variety of different opinions that don't look like the norm or what is perceived as the norm, oftentimes the people who need that representation the most, the message gets lost in translation. And I think there is something to be said about why I thought that particular moment was disturbing. Was a whole other level in itself. And this one has nothing to do with Maz in particular. But what I'm truly most disappointed in, and maybe I should or shouldn't be surprised, I don't know. But what I'm most particularly disappointed in is the reactions in the immediate aftermath of that statement, that neither Felger or Big Jim Murray stepped in and said, "Hey, you know what? That wasn't okay." That's what I had a problem with. Because there's an old saying that goes in life: silence is compliance. That's exactly what that was. Compliance with the joke. That's why I'm disappointed in terms of those two. But should I be surprised? I don't know. And I mean that. I truly don't know. Am I disappointed? Yes. Do I have a right to feel how I feel? Yes. Because this is not a matter of, oh my God, you're so sensitive. No. You don't get to tell someone who has had to fight, and I'm talking about a group of people, a group of marginalized people, who has had to fight and claw for every single inch of respect in this country, in this society, how they should or shouldn't feel. You don't have that right. You never did, and you never will. Although you may try to force how you feel that down the throats of the marginalized folks who were impacted, but you don't have that right. That's not up to you. So in summation, in regards to my thoughts on what was said by Tony Maserati on 98.5 The Sports and by NBC Sports Boston on Friday, I'm sad. I'm really am hurt by that because it sucks. And I do feel angry. But it doesn't change how I feel about the individual, about him. And I mean that sincerely. If he or anyone wants to have a conversation, I'm 100% open to having that conversation. As to why that is so damaging, that comments like that are so damaging in itself to African Americans and people of color. And I'll wrap up this segment by saying the following. I have never, ever been afraid to have difficult conversations like this. Important conversations like this. And especially as someone who, like myself, who is black, who is Caribbean Native American, who's fully aware that I am a public figure and a public face now, that I have a responsibility that comes along with the platform that I have both on radio, podcasts, and social media. That responsibility means that I speak on matters like this because there are people that look like me who do look up to me because they see that it is possible. And that it's important to have conversations like this as to why statements like that are not okay and never will be okay. So we're going to take a music break here. And then after the music break, we're going to get going in terms of the show, in terms of everything I want to get into today. I do have a jam-packed show. And the phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the show today. As coming up next, there is definitely an ongoing theme going on in terms of both the Celtics and the Bruins. I want to get into that, plus some Red Sox thoughts and much more coming up next. On the other side of the break, you're listening to the 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The way I describe it for people is... My dad shot himself and the bullet hit everyone in his life. It was a week before my 30th birthday and I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't because I thought I could call him later that week.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender,
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
I would have walked through fire to kiss your lips. Do you still think about it, of what you did? Still see your old apartment like a bad trip. Wish I could forget all the places we've been. Hot and heavy whiskey goodbyes. Boy, you know how to make a girl cry. Was sleeping in a bed full of lies, and now that I'm older I can see why. You made me feel high, cause you had me so low, low, low. You only seem tall, cause you stunted my growth. I only wanted you cause I couldn't have you. Now that I know that wasn't love, that wasn't love, that was just hope. That was a love, that was a love, that was just hope.
Always another bender, I lose control. I thought I'd get it back when you came back home to me, darling. But I never had it, did I? Your heart's a trick. And all the magic we felt was just a hit.
Hot and heavy whiskey goodbyes. Boy, you know how to make a girl cry. Was sleeping in a bed full of lies. And now that I'm older, I can see why. You made me feel high, cause you had me so low, low, low. You only seem tall, cause you stunted my growth. I only wanted you cause I couldn't have you. Now that I know that wasn't love, that wasn't love, that was just hope.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Forum Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. First show back after being on vacation is always rather interesting because I kind of found myself during the previous segment, although it was a tough segment. In terms of just my overall raw emotions and my feelings about the whole Tony Maserati situation, that I kind of found myself like going back into some old bad habits I'm trying to break out of and whatnot. So like I'm challenging myself to work on these things, work on these kinks, and like, you know, knock off the cobweb, so to speak, and whatnot. So that's why. I find myself even right now saying to myself, you know what? All right, you know, time to break off the dust, like get that dust off of your shoulders. you know, break off the cowwebs. Back at it we go, because it's back to the grind. Monday was one thing. Yesterday, it wasn't yesterday. It was actually last night. Was it last night? No, Monday night. Correction, I'm sorry. It was Monday night. Dropped a new episode, an inaugural episode of the brand new podcast that I do for Believe Network called Believe in Hub of Champions. The first episode of that new podcast is, in fact, out now. It is available on iHeartRadio and wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch the show on YouTube. Just type in Believe in Hub of Champions, the first episode. It's there now. The numbers look good so far in terms of listeners and viewership and whatnot. So for everyone that has taken the time to listen and watch the podcast so far, thank you. I see you. I appreciate you. Thank you. Now, in regards to a topic, I'm actually going to tease this one for just a little bit, because we're going to do what is called a reset, a clock reset. What do I mean? Meaning, because we started the show just a few minutes late, I kind of just threw off everything in terms of schedule and flow and all that fun stuff. So I want to use this time to just like reset things on rather just a little bit, so that we can get the show like flowing in a way that I know it can and that it has. So we're now approaching March, and as I sit here doing this radio show and I look outside, you know, it gets me thinking. March is usually, in my opinion, the best time of year for sports. Controversial take? Sure, you could say that. But I would actually say that March is the best time of year for sports, because I'm thinking along the lines of spring training baseball is in full-fledged, and then opening day, I believe, is March 30th. Yeah, it's March 30th. And also, not to mention, you got the NHL regular season, you know, winding down, and as well as the trade deadline on March 3rd. The NBA trade deadline came and went already, so it's just, you know, preparing for the home stretch, getting ready for the postseason. So, locally, I would say that I would say that it is definitely the best time of year for sports, because the Red Sox are back in play. They start their exhibition schedule this weekend. The Bruins and Celtics are rolling right now. The Bruins, they're out on the West Coast right now, getting ready for their matchup against the Seattle Kraken tomorrow night. And then the Celtics, you got them coming back from the NBA All-Star break tomorrow night against the Pacers in Indianapolis. So a lot to look forward to ahead. So with that being said, we're going to take another quick music break here. And coming up next, we're going to attempt to reset the show and get things flowing again, as I mentioned, in a way that we know that the show usually flows with those of you that are like accustomed to listening to the show and have been listening to the show for a while. So don't go anywhere. We got more coming up. We got a lot of Bruins, Celtics, and some Red Sox thoughts coming up during this show. We're here with you live until 11 a.m. this morning here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Hey, I was doing just fine before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again. I know it breaks your heart, moved to the city in a broke down car, and 4 years no calls, now you're looking pretty in a hotel bar, and I can't stop, no I can't stop. So baby, pull me closer in the seat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your
his shoulder. Pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever getting older.
The day I met you, I forget just why I left you. I was insane. Stay and play that Blink 182 song that we beat to death in Tucson. Okay, I know it breaks your heart. Shoulder, pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever getting older.
Welcome back to the Shukri Red Show, 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. As there were some things that that I absolutely wanted to touch on. I'm not sure if I'll be able to do so in full at full length, but I'm going to do my best. Here moving forward. But I'm gonna try to jam in as much as I possibly can over the next hour and 15 minutes. So I'll just get straight right into it. Now the first one I wanted to get into was and maybe I can wait till the next segment to do this particular one. But I do have a thought as it pertains to the Boston Bruins in regards to a take that was first brought up on Friday afternoon here locally. And I saw the video clips. That's the only reason why I was able to even find out. And it was Adam Jones of WEEI basically putting on the table, you know, trade either Swayman or Allmark at the trade deadline to get what the Bruins need. And I'm sure that in itself caught a lot of people's attention. It caught my attention. So much so that as I was walking down the streets of New York in my hometown on Friday, I stopped and recorded a video that was on Twitter, and that is on Twitter. And the reason why I did that was because I couldn't believe I heard her take that was truly that stupid and so out of left field that, of course, it would get the reactions that it got. And basically, I want to repeat a lot of what I've talked about in that video, but in a radio sense, I'm really going to go into further depth why this is such a horrible idea. I know that at some point that you're going to have to make a decision as to who are you going to keep as your starter long-term, Swayman or Omark. Because Omark right now, he is the favorite to win the Vezina. That's a foregone conclusion. He's more than likely going to win the Vezina unless he completely falls flat on his face. And by that, I mean struggle so mightily that another candidate such as Connor Hellebuck, for example, gets hot and wins the Vezina outright. Now, I have been one who I've looked at Swayman and Omark, and I said, you know, that goaltending duo is the best in the league. And it makes no sense to break that up. Why the hell would you want to break that up now? Why would you want to try to break that up, especially in a year where it's really all in and it's basically Stanley Cup or bust? That's basically what it is. It makes no sense. Because who knows what will happen come the Stanley Cup playoffs? And I'm serious. Who knows if Omark will be able to maintain this level of stellar play into the postseason? That is a massive question mark in its own right. Swayman, on the other hand, he has postseason experience. Not a whole lot of it, but he has some. Whereas Omark, he's never played in the postseason, in which that he was the starter. And that was something that, now that I bring that up, I think about as to how is it that the Bruins find themselves in such an enviable position where you have two number one goalies as a tandem. It's easy. You go back to that free agent signing almost 2 years ago now, signing Omar from Buffalo, and then drafting Swayman, I believe it was in the fourth or the fifth round in the NHL draft out of Maine. You are basically in a position in which that on any given night in the playoffs, you could plug either one of those guys in. Keep the other one fresh and healthy. Would that be something that Jim Montgomery look into doing? Who knows? Would it be the worst idea in the world to do it? Not necessarily, but the Stanley Cup playoffs are a different animal in comparison to the regular season. Just because something is completely new and completely far-fetched doesn't mean it's necessarily a terrible idea. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, we know that traditionally that there's one goalie that basically takes the reins and the team basically rides that goalie come hell or high water into the sunset. That's usually the case. Would it be a terrible idea if Coach Montgomery said, you know what? I want to alternate goalies. Game one, Swayman. Game two, Omark. I'm just saying this as an example, hypothetically speaking. Would it be the worst idea of all? I don't think it would be. But would it be unorthodox? Yes. But is it a horrible idea? No. Not necessarily. Especially if you're playing a 7-game series, it wouldn't be the worst idea. It actually may play into your benefit because you're not just sticking some Joe Schmo into in between the pipes, in which that you're like, why is this guy starting when he shouldn't be? He should be riding the bench. This isn't, let's say, 3 years ago when it was Tuukka Rask and Jaroslav Halak, Rask, as we all remember, left the bubble, and then Halak had to step in and start those games in which that we knew he wasn't a starter. He's not the starter. He's a backup for a reason. And at that time, and I'm saying at that time, it was 10 years removed where Halak had basically played his way with the Montreal Canadiens to an Eastern Conference Finals as a starter in 2010. But this is different. And here's why it's different. The reason why I do think that you do not trade either one of those goalies, at least right now, is because come the playoffs, having two aces could actually be the biggest difference maker. Should one either go down due to injury, or should one begin to struggle in the playoffs, you have another one to go to. You trade either one of those two, you're cooked. Because your next best goaltending prospect is buried somewhere down in Providence, who is clearly not even ready for the NHL level. So for right now, you don't trade either one. You keep both. And then on top of that, in just a few short weeks, the Bruins will begin a grueling stretch in their schedule in which that they're going to be playing every other night, and they have, I believe, three different back-to-back sets of games. And it's a lot. It's a lot of hockey as the Bruins begin their sprint towards the Stanley Cup playoffs. So what's truly the sense of trading away one of the two best goaltenders in the NHL right now, which, by the way, both goaltenders, they're both in top five in goals against average. Omark has number one, and Swayman is fifth rank. And you want to tell me that you're willing to trade either one of them? You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. 855-915-WMFO is the number to call in. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. Coming up next, I want to share with you some of my thoughts from what was a very interesting week in Philly last week. And some of my observations from what was a hilarious time in Philadelphia, but a telling time. I'm going to tell you exactly why that was on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Sugar Wright Show, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Form Radio.
I am Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
And you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just in case you're hazy on exactly what it means, let me give you a rough idea. It means that the cost of your clothes and food has gone up to a point where the family budget has become somewhat strained. Well, that's one of those things. And you can't be expected to increase the family income. But there are some things you can do to help. For instance, take better care of your clothes. When you come home from school, change into old clothes before you go out to play. Take care of your health, because doctors and medicines are expensive. Eat well, but don't waste. Take your full share, but eat all you take. Try not to ask mother and dad to buy you things you don't actually need. Make the best and the most of what you've got. try to be more than usually careful of your school equipment, such as paper, pencils, and so forth. Make them last and go as far as you possibly can. Remember that all members of a family must pull together at a time like this. So do your share.
I'm done with the drinking, I'm done with the smoking, I'm done with the playing, I'm done with the joking, I'm done with the ladies, I'm done with the fellas, just saying. Farewell tequila, so long margarita, lady sativa, I hate to leave ya, don't want the pressure, I don't need a lecture, no thank you honey, God bless ya. I know, I've said it all before, but it won't hurt to do it all once more. This is my last hurrah.
There's a price tag on almost everything. Whether you drive a shiny new 1952 model or a pre-war jalopy, you had to pay the price. And when you're driving that car, remember that speed also has its price. The price tag on speed violations last year was 15,000 killed and 500,000 injured. This year, thousands of lives can be saved if you and millions of other motorists come to the sober realization that speed is the biggest killer on the highways and resolve to slow down before you or someone else pays the price that must be paid for it. You can do your part by keeping within speed limits. At all times, drive as though your life depends on it. It does. There's a price tag on almost everything. Whether you drive a shiny new 1952 model or a pre-war jalopy, you had to pay the price. And when you're driving that car, remember that speed also has its price. The price tag on speed violations last year was 15,000 killed and 500,000 injured. This year, thousands of lives can be saved if you and millions of other motorists come to the sober realization that speed is the biggest killer on the highways and resolve to slow down before you or someone else pays the price that must be paid for it. You can do your part by keeping within speed limits. At all times, drive as though your life depends on it. It does.
Everything's been so messed up here lately.